Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. No, good afternoon. I'm sorry. We are here in Michigan on a very hot summer day, something during Michigan winters we always long for. So we are, myself and Carrie, again, too blessed to be stressed. How are you, Carrie?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Good, good. Fresh off a wonderful, wonderful get-together last night, your birthday party, and also a fundraiser that we'll talk a little bit with our guest. We got a very, very special guest who's going to talk to us, Mr. Charles Coldman. And we'll get to that in just a minute after we talk about our life coaching. Life coaching is something that I think is required to have a great, great life. Everybody needs feedback. Everybody needs a sounding board. Someone you can go to and process frustration and gain some tools to building the life that you want. And that's what we do. Carrie and I are available at our website, butterflylifecoach.com, or call 248-568-7021. And we can set up a free initial consultation. And we can talk about you. And we can talk about what would make a great life for you. And setting up some sort of strategy so that you can achieve it. Because in life, you are either pursuing your own goals or someone's making them for you. And if you have dreams, aspirations, a change that you want, or if you're going through a particular hard time and really need some tools to process and get through that, that's what we do. And we would love the opportunity to meet with you or give you that free session to see what your dreams are and developing a game plan to how to get there. So we have so much to talk about that I thought that we would really get into our interview process with Carrie and have her introduce this very special guest that we have in town for the next couple days, Mr. Charles Coldman. Carrie?
Hi. Well, good morning, good afternoon. We are very excited to have Charles Coldman here, straight from the UK by way of Tennessee. He's in Michigan with us now. He is the founder and director of African Promise. And we're just going to get right into it and ask Charles all about his work and what he does in the village of, or the area of the Kasigao area, which is in southeast Kenya. Is that right, Charles?
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Charles,
awesome.
I was wondering, we had breakfast together, and tell us a little bit about your background before you got into your projects in near Kenya, Africa. Where does this all, what's the source of all of this?
Well, I've had a connection with Africa, East Africa, going back to when I was 17, 18 years old, and I had an opportunity then to travel to that part of the world and to see a world that was very different to the one that I had been privileged to grow up in, and you know, new experiences, new cultures, new people, and it taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about myself. Taught me a lot about life, and you know, I've taken those lessons and they've formed really, they've been the basis of all the decisions that I've made over the last 14, 15 years and have led me to do what I do now with African Promise.
That's interesting, Charles. What are some of the insights that you arrived at when you were Were you a gap year student there?
I was a gap year student between high school and college.
And then what exactly did you do there during your gap year? Were you there for the whole year?
I was there for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I was based in a village in this rural area of Kasegao, and was supporting community-based development projects in the area, and spending a lot of time getting to know people and getting under the skin of this new corner of the world, mm-hmm. and new people and a new community, and it was a very eye-opening experience.
You know, Charles, part of this show is taking advantage and the opportunity of talking to what I call movers and shakers, of people who are doing things in their life and what that requires. And part of the theme of this show is the butterfly moment. We talked about this a little bit this morning at breakfast, and butterfly moment being that time from the cocoon or whatever restraints that you have in life where you have this aha experience. And it's, I can do this. This is what I was meant to do. Symbolically or metaphorically with the butterfly, it's, you know, I'm one of the most beautiful insects in the world and I can fly. What was that moment from you after this gap year where you decided, I can make a difference, I can do this and help these people?
I think I've had quite a few moments like that, which I guess cumulatively have led to doing what I do now. You know, seeing a need and feeling that I had the power to do something about it, you know, that led me to make a decision to support one school in this area of Kenya. There was no real conscious decision there. It was just a feeling that I had the power to do something about it.
So Charles, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go carry on.
So after you left, you know, after your gap year, what did you go on to do?
I went on to college and spent 3 years getting a degree in business economics. Meanwhile, though, I was raising some funds to do a project in one of the schools in Kasegao.
What school was that?
That was Jura Primary School.
Jura.
And Jura is a village now, which I call my second home.
Right, and we've seen your second home. We've spent the night in your second home, and it's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Who built that for you?
That was built by local builders, and you know, I drew some lines in the dirt of what I wanted, and they came and built it. But
wow.
It was on land that was given to me by the community as a thank you for the work that I had done at that school.
That's a wonderful thank you.
It's quite unique, a great honor to have been given that.
You know, what I found very fascinating is that you have a definite strategy in how you're going to help these kids with education. And it seems to be what we call the path of least resistance, where you go into, your idea is that there's plenty of schools in this area. You go in and basically refurbish them and get them up to snuff, and physical improvements and the teachers and lunch programs and that type of thing. Tell us your strategy there.
Well, yeah, as you're saying, I mean, there's plenty of schools across Kenya. There's more than 25,000, and the biggest challenge that they face is not that they, not that there aren't enough schools. It's that they don't have the funds and the resources to deliver an education that's worth having for the pupils that they serve. So our response to that, or African Promise's response to that need, is to provide the schools and the teachers with the tools and the resources that they need to be able to deliver an education that's worth having to the children, most of whom are from very disadvantaged backgrounds in that community. So yes, we upgrade physical infrastructure and we build classrooms and and do that sort of improving the fabric of the school, but we also fund the salaries of extra teachers, we provide textbooks and educational materials, we provide learning opportunities for children, educational opportunities for them to visit other parts of Kenya, see other parts of the country, learn about other parts of the country, getting away just from learning about everything from a textbook, you know, the opportunity to see things for themselves and have new experiences and really expand their horizons and show them that what they could do with their lives beyond spending the rest of their lives as subsistence farmers in rural Kenya. So we do that. As you were alluding to, we deliver a feeding program that provides a daily lunch and sustenance to 2,500 children in the 7 schools that we support. And you know, that is about meeting a very basic human need, but one that might otherwise not be met. You know, it's a very disadvantaged and impoverished part of Kenya, physically and in terms of people's economics, but not in terms of their spirit and their sort of lust for life. But you know, financially, people are very very challenged, and it's, you know, it's difficult for people to put food on the table for their children. So, you know, we help by doing that at school, giving these children, you know, sort of feeding their minds, I suppose, as well as their bodies.
That's wonderful, Charles. I think that we've talked about this before, how for us, a little bit in terms of our economic dollar, a little bit goes a long way in Kenya. For example, $5 would feed a student. $5 will feed 2 children for a month with your lunch program, and $30 would feed a child for the entire year or a student for the entire year. How long have you, give me a little chronological information about African Promise. When did it start? When did you leave college and, you know, enter the workforce and then just to say, no, this is what I'm going to do with my life?
I left college in, I graduated 2006. And as I was saying before, I'd spent my college years fundraising for this community, which I had got to know from time spent there in my gap year before I started college. You know, and I roped in some friends to help out with some fundraising activities for this school and for this community. And after I graduated, you know, before entering the workforce, you know, I decided to give myself some time to spend in this community, to support the school, and I went out and spent 6 months in Kenya, managing a project to upgrade Jura Primary School, and working closely with the local community, managing that project, building a library, which became one of the first libraries in a public primary school in rural Kenya. And we've subsequently gone on to build many more. For me, that was a life-changing 6 months, really. It was 6 months unlike any that I'd ever had in my life. And, you know, at the end of that, my time in Kenya, you know, and this is perhaps another one of my sort of butterfly moments, is, you know, sitting on the plane on the flight back to the UK, you know, realizing that whatever I was going to do work-wise when I got back was probably not going to live up to the 6 months that I'd just had in Kenya.
You felt that it would pale in comparison in probably so many ways.
Absolutely, yeah. I felt that it wouldn't, it wouldn't challenge me. It wouldn't, you know, feed, you know, wouldn't feed my soul, perhaps, wouldn't give me that sort of satisfaction that I'd got from the 6 months that I'd had, where I was very hands-on involved and really felt like I'd done something that had made a difference to some people. And, you know, I felt, you know, that I wanted, you know, I'd seen a need in other schools in the community, other schools nearby, and felt that, you know, with the experience I'd acquired from doing this one project and raising some funds and then managing the project on the ground, that, you know, I had the skills and the ability to do that on a wider scale. So that sort of led to my decision to set up African Promise, set up the charity in late 2007, early 2008. And, you know, for a long time, you know, although I initially spent a couple of years living in Kenya whilst I was establishing the organization on the ground, after that initial period, it was something that I did more as a hobby and a passion alongside other full-time work. It's only in the last, it's only in recent times that it's become, you know, a full-time job as well as my passion and my vocation.
Congratulations on that, Charles. Just specifically, if you can tell us what is the draw? I mean, I know it's a great feeling of being able to help people and really feeling that you can actually make a difference in these lives of these children and the villages. But what about their way of life? What do you enjoy about that? What attracts you?
I think there's something about the attitude that people have towards life, even though they've been, dealt a pretty rough draw. You know, there's very few people who feel sorry for themselves because of their, the life that they've been born into. And in the West, we take things for granted and we complain about things that really, in the grand scheme of things, really. You know, not something that we should be whinging and moaning about. The community, the people in the communities that that African Promise works in, you know, they've got tough lives. You know, they are they live in impoverished backgrounds. They struggle on a daily basis for water and sustenance. And things that we take for granted. But they have a fantastic spirit, and I think that's something that for me is very inspiring.
Mm. Yeah, well said, Charles.
I want to ask you, what advice would you give somebody who's, let's say, graduating from college, graduating from high school, that type of thing, and feels the way you did? What advice would you, how do you prepare for that moment? How do you prepare for that strength? Usually parents want their kids to get a job and just a regular family, and, you know, there's all these traditional pulls that we have on. How do you get to that point where you say, no, this is what I was supposed to do? Or did you have that at all?
I don't know whether I had that, really. I mean, I've been very fortunate that my family, my parents in particular, have always been very supportive. They've given me the opportunities and the freedom and the independence to make my own course in life. They've supported me financially, and which has given me that sort of flexibility to make those decisions. That means that I've been able to do something that's a little bit out of the ordinary and not follow the trodden path.
Traditional trodden.
Yeah, yeah.
But the road less traveled.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's come from, you know, the opportunities I've had and the freedom that I've been given to make my own course in life and really choose to do something that I want to do and that I feel is what I want to spend the rest of my working life doing. And probably beyond my working life as well. This is, you know, this is something that's, as I said, it's more than a job. It's a true passion and a calling. Yeah.
Charles, do you ever see yourself living full time in Kenya? I mean, in the future.
Part of me would like to do that. Yeah, I've done it in the past. It is challenging. But at the moment I've got a great sort of arrangement. I'm dividing my time between London and Kenya, spending a couple of months in the UK and then 3 or 4 weeks in Kenya. So for me at the moment that works very well.
Wouldn't there be kind of a persistent cultural shock of going back and forth and, you know, dealing with these basic problems of food and water and all that kind of stuff to cars and buses and, you know, all of the technology that you have here?
Well, to be honest, I find the culture shock bigger coming back to the to Western civilization than I do when I go out to Kenya. That making that adjustment coming back is often much harder.
Mm.
Do you get into a rhythm there, Charles? Is it a quieter way of life, a more simple? Is it, what is it?
It's certainly much quieter. not necessarily more simple and straightforward, but I like, you know, every day brings challenges that you probably wouldn't face elsewhere in the world, certainly wouldn't face in London.
Give me a challenge. Tell me.
Just from getting from A to B can sometimes be a challenge. I like being faced with those kind of everyday challenges that you really wouldn't normally get if you were sort of getting up in the morning, going to work, sitting at a desk 9 to 5, you know, and jumping back on, you know, back in your car or back on the bus or the train and going back home, you know, and you know, so that sort of life out of the ordinary is, you know, and then the unexpected challenges, I like being presented with them, and I like finding solutions to them and having to deal with them.
Tell us something that we don't know about these people that you are of great service to, something that might come as a surprise.
Difficult to answer that one. There are people that I've got to know so well that, you know, I don't see them really. You know, I know them so well that I don't see any differences anymore. And, you know, for me, it's all become very, very ordinary. So, mm-hmm. you know, what is ordinary to me yeah. about them might be extraordinary
maybe you
to
can
other
think,
people.
Yeah, but, maybe you can think back to when you first, you know, went. I know personally, I was struck by the joy, the acceptance of circumstances, the joy that the people have, the acceptance of certain circumstances, their will to just accept and be, and, you know, they're very welcoming people.
Well, yeah, as I said before, that's what I found that very inspiring, and continue to find that very inspiring. And it's why I enjoy, you know, working in these communities, is that you know, people are very generous with their time. They're very generous with what they do have. You know, what little they do have, they are very generous with it. You know, and they have a very, very welcoming spirit, and they have, you know, very open hearts. You know, as you say, despite their circumstances,
and
you know, that's always been the case in all the years that I've been going there.
Let's ask you the one of the final questions. Where do you want this to go? What is your ultimate goal? And so we and our readers can support you spiritually and maybe financially. What will it look like in a year or two, or wherever, whatever time you want to place it in?
I quite like at the moment having the flexibility to set my own goals my goals are not being set and defined by other people. So I'm, you know, free to really take this this organization and this work in the direction that I feel it needs to go. I quite like keeping the organization small and very focused on the community that where we work. You know, I feel it's a community that I know well. I think that's important. To be able to make a difference there is to understand the need and to understand the community. So, you know, for the moment, the boundaries of that community are the boundaries of my work. There are plenty more schools in villages in this community that face similar challenges to those that we are solving in the schools that we currently support. So the ultimate goal, but I don't know whether that's in the next year or 3 years or 5 or 10 years, would be to be supporting more schools in this community in the same way that we've supported others. So that would be upgrading the fabric of the schools, supporting them with their ongoing needs to provide teachers, to provide resources, to provide, you know, a meal and sustenance to the children.
Are there 7 schools right now, Charles, that you're providing for?
There are 7 schools
seven
that we're
schools.
Working
Can
with.
You name them?
They are Jora Primary School, Kitege Primary School, Makwasini, Rukanga, Kisimeni, Ngambeni, and Bungule.
Beautiful. Kitege being the smallest, with about 240 students.
Kitege is actually the second smallest.
Oh,
the
second.
Smallest is Ngambeni, which is a school that we're just finishing a year-long upgrade project in, and that's only got 120 kids. But
nice.
That compares to more than 650 in the largest school that we work with.
One last question, because we're kind of dialing down here. What do you say to people that say to you, Charles, these questions are, you know, these obstacles are just too big. We've got, you know, a water problem. We've got a sustenance problem. We've got poverty. We've got a lack of so many different things, medical treatment, that type of thing. What do you say to that?
Well, there's only so much that one person and one group can do. You know, I've found a way that I can do something about a particular need, and I will do something about that. You know, there are other people and other organizations will come along and address other issues, but I found a way to make a difference to a particular group of people in a particular way. Over the years that I've been doing it, I feel that we've become successful at doing it. We've got a good model. It works, and we will continue to do that. But you can't spread yourselves too thinly and try to do too much, because you end up failing.
Yes. Charles, people can find more information about you on your website.
They can. Yeah, the website's africanpromise.org.uk.
africanpromise.org.uk.
Correct.
And you should know that last night's fundraiser was for this African Promise purpose. And you can also contact us about donations, and we will certainly make sure that they get to Charles. Charles, thank you so much for our visit. Thank you so much for the insight and teaching in your butterfly moment. God bless. I know that you will achieve all your goals.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Charles. Continue your good works.
God bless.